Thank you for sticking around for another interview here on In Depth. I am still your host, Ian Sorensen, and in the studio, Jamie Royce Gomes with the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, specifically the Living with Fire program. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Definitely the time to have you in. We're getting into fire season. We've actually kind of already been into fire season. And some people don't know what the heck to do in case of a fire, if they're in the area of one. So on and so forth. So enlighten us, I guess.
Well, it's interesting that you say fire season. So we actually have experienced fires during the winter.
That's
and
a good
during
point.
The fall.
I guess I should. That's kind of a misconception.
Yeah. And so we actually have fires all throughout the year. And so every May we have a Nevada Wildfire Awareness Month, and it just passed. But our theme this year was Prepare Now, Wildfire Knows No Season, just because a lot of people just think that wildfire primarily occurs during the summer. But,
right.
You know, it can occur during the fall and the winter.
October's coming up. We're fine.
No, yeah, exactly.
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's... this spring, we actually got a lot of precipitation. We got a lot of rain in the area.
True.
And so that allowed for more growth of like what we call finer fuels. So like cheatgrass is a great example. That really grew. That cheatgrass is drying out right now, and so it kind of like that water, all that water and all that rain kind of prolonged our summer wildfires.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why we haven't had so much of a strong start to the wildfires here in the summertime. But once it dries out completely, then we have maybe two, maybe three crops of cheatgrass growing. So it's really going to pick up next month and into August too.
All right. And what can you deduce, I guess, where it's going to affect things most? At least what areas? It's kind of hard probably to pin that down.
Everybody should prepare for wildfire.
Right.
Wildfire can occur even in urban areas. I mean, if we were to look at the Collin fire that occurred in November of 2011,
right, I remember that. Yeah.
It was a fire that occurred because of high winds and the power lines got downed, and the fire then spread into the community. And so, everybody should be prepared for wildfire.
Definitely. And how can they prepare? You have so many different ways. You actually just gave me a really cool little kind of handkerchief thing.
Yeah. So,
or a bandana or something.
Yeah.
Has all the tips.
We actually have on our website, www.livingwithfire.info. You can visit that and see different ways to prepare. And so that handkerchief that I gave you was an evacuation list. So when you're panicked and you have to evacuate and you don't know what to do, you can look at that list and know what to grab and prepare for.
Right.
Other things that people can do right now are things like fixing up their defensible space. So defensible space is the area between your home and an oncoming wildfire. And the vegetation has been managed so that you reduce the risk of wildfire threatening your home, and so that firefighters can come in and safely defend your home.
Right on. And what can you do as far as what is vegetation that'll kind of block that? Is there anything that can...
Yeah. So actually the first 5 feet from your home is incredibly important. We recommend having things like rock or DG, having like high moisture content plants like flowers, like tulips or irises or succulents. Things that are alive and
succulents are big now.
They are, yeah.
You know, people are getting them a lot. So, you know, keep that in mind when you were thinking of what plants to get.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
They could protect you from fire.
Yeah. So that first 5 feet is really important. And then after that, then you can have like deciduous trees. And then further from that, then we recommend like evergreens. And if you want to have a juniper, that's incredibly flammable. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh, okay.
We recommend that being at least 30 feet away. Another thing that people could do, they could do a home inventory.
Okay.
Of the items in their home. A lot of people don't think to do that. On our website, I actually have a blog, and I review different methods of ways to do a home inventory. There's actually apps on your phone that you can download. You can take pictures of it and then have all the information on there. Or you can do like a printout, an inventory sheet, and complete that. What else? People can sign up for reverse 911. And so in Washoe County, people can sign up for Code Red. So reverse 911 is just an emergency response system where it calls you in an emergency to let you know when to evacuate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of people have cell phones and they don't have their cell phones on that. And so registering with that would be a great way.
I don't even know about the service, which probably means a lot of other people don't know. Which
yeah.
Is, thank God you're in the studio talking about it.
But. I know. Code RED. So just go on the Washoe County website, Code RED, or even Google it, Washoe County Code RED, and you'll find it and you can sign up for that.
That is incredibly important.
It is very important. You know, during the Collin Fire, a lot of people didn't, they were forced to evacuate in the middle of the night.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes people just had a knock on the door from an emergency response member. And so if they would have had that phone calling them, maybe they would have been able to.
Probably would have left earlier in the night or even during the day.
Yeah.
Well in advance.
You know, another thing a lot of people don't really consider, but embers are a huge issue with wildfires. And so embers are pieces of burning material, and they can actually travel up to a mile ahead of a wildfire and start spot fires ahead. With winds, they can.
Right. Our wind, and I have to say, I'm not trying to be insulting to our area, but our wind sucks.
They do, yeah.
It does not help in these situations.
No, and I'm calling out the Collin Fire again. We saw that during the Collin Fire.
Yeah.
And so there's things that you can do to actually... Oh, and actually, let me take a step back. So research has actually shown that 90% of the time, homes ignite in a wildfire situation due to embers. It's not due to a big wall of fire that comes in.
Okay.
And so people don't realize that. And so there's things that you can do. There's actually roughly 20 spots around the home that you can be cognizant of and provide maintenance to reduce the threat of ignition from embers. And we do have that on our website. It's Be Ember Aware. Again, our website is livingwithfire.info. And you could do things like clean up the dead plant material in your gutters, or you can remove the dead plants from your home, exchanging out a wood shake roof for a composite roof or tile or some other type of fire ignition resistant roof.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of things that people can do.
Excellent. And then probably time is of the essence, so they probably should get on it now. And kind of harkening back to, you said we got a lot of rain in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to the grass growing, that particular grass.
Mm-hmm.
So is it kind of like, we're kind of damned if we do, damned if we don't when it comes to fires? Like, if it's really dry, we're going to get fires earlier. But if it rains, that means we're going to get them later. But we're going to get them pretty much no matter what.
You know, I'm not a meteorologist, and there's a lot of issues,
That's
of parameters that go in with that.
Right. But
another thing to consider, actually, is that last year, 2017, we had a huge winter. And so that produced a lot of fine fuels, or you know, like cheatgrass and those type of plants. And so those plants have actually matted down and dried up. And so the combination of those matted down, dried up cheatgrass plants in conjunction with, you know, the 1 to 2 to maybe 3 new crops of cheatgrass, I mean, that also helps towards being a bad wildfire season.
Okay.
But again, there's a lot of things that go into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's another thing that embers can get into. They can get into your attic or your crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
And so we recommend that homes actually have 1/8 inch wire mesh on the crawl space fence or the attic fence. And so that can help prevention of embers coming in. I know that a lot of people like to have, you know, a bigger mesh on their fence, but that's what we recommend for that.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, you have so many different tips people can take advantage of. It's just livingwithfire.info.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else you want to add? I think you pretty covered a lot of ground. So
yourself. There's a lot. Just visit our website, livingwithfire.info. There's tons of information. And so the Living with Fire program, we also offer presentations. We do publications. So if anybody wants any publications, they can either go to our website or contact me and I can send you some. Or if you want a presentation, I can come and give that to you.
Nice.
But just visit our website, livingwithfire.info, and they can get an idea of what's on there.
Cool. Take advantage. Thanks a lot, Jamie Royce Gomes, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.